Some of those who are joining us on live stream as well. Can we do that? Make some noise for them. Hey guys, you've got your hosts, you got Melissa and Rich on there, so make sure you comment, say hi to them. Hey, so glad you're in the room. So excited that you're here. Up top, hey, yo, what's up? Good to see you guys. Hey, so I need to just start off this morning by saying, hey, this was awesome. This thing we have together was awesome. And I know it's going to be the last time, and but I really, really love that we had something special. I really do. Because you know what? I tell you what, you know, sometimes you get into kind of an environment like this, or you have something so special, and you think it lasts forever, but you know, good things don't last forever. Right? They don't. But it's been really great. And here's the thing. Here's what I want you to understand, okay? That I've really enjoyed my time with you guys. And if you're thinking, what's going on? What's happening? First of all, don't blame yourself. You're better than that. It's you. It's not me. It's you. And it's going to be great. You're going to look back at this decision and go, you know what? This was best for both of us. And this is great. So let's do this. I know you're confused. I get it. But let's do this. Let's make this service, right? This last service, just something beautiful. Let's do that. Good? What is going on, right? You guys look like I just broke up with you. What's wrong with you guys? What's wrong with you guys? You do realize, like, this is the last time we are going to have, like, a 10:15 service. You guys do realize that? Oh, you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah, you're no longer. It's going to be 9:30 and 11. So this thing we have right here is over. Okay, you know what? Maybe it was just me. But I thought we had something special. But you know what? It is definitely you. It's not me. It's definitely you guys. You're like, okay, this is not funny at all. I seriously thought you were leaving. Not going anywhere. You're actually leaving. You're coming at the 11 o'clock service. And we are pumped about that. I know. The first service, it was funnier. It really was. And live stream people are like, thumbs down emojis right now, right? That's what's happening. But hey, this is a big deal for us because you might not know this because you just started coming to Mosaic and being part of this community, but we've been doing these three services for a long time. And we've been at one location for a very long time. This is our 12th year. We're going to be celebrating our 12th year this year. And so we're going to two communities, two campuses, and we are so pumped about that. This is really a big deal for us. And so, yes, it's going to be different. We're going to have a 9:30 and 11 starting next week because it's daylight savings. And also next week, we have a huge amount of people who are actually going to be doing mock services at Plaza Midwood next week. So there's going to be a lot of change happening, but this is going to be great. Here's what I need you guys to help me with, okay? If you felt like, oh my gosh, you really messed with me, what that means is that you love me. I get it, okay? Now here's what I want you to do. If you love me, if you really love me, okay. Like, it seems like you guys have heard this before. If you really love me, you would do this. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to volunteer if you haven't already signed up for a team. Here's why. This is a big deal. This is going to be a big weekend for us, and it's a busy season. Truly believe that if all of us just do a little bit, we actually can accomplish a whole lot. So if we do a little, we are actually able to do a lot. And this is the time. If you ever thought, you know what, I'd love to help out, listen. Love for you to do that. Join a team. You'll find these in front of, you know, in your seats. Please just fill out one of these. We make it very simple. I mean, this is like the best volunteer opportunity. This organization is the best organization, best church to volunteer in. Here's why, okay? First of all, you volunteer every other week. Not every week, every other week. And on the week you do volunteer, you get to attend a service and service. So you're here, you make friends. It's also just for 6 months. That means you only serve about 12 times. 12 times, you don't miss a weekend. Every other week, people are awesome. Free donuts, I guess, something like that. A lot of love, A lot of love. And you might even find the one you're looking for. I mean, I'm just making a lot of promises here. I'm just putting a lot in it. You might get married, brand new car. You'll get a brand new car at some point. You'll pay for it. I'm not going to do it. But that'll happen to you. A lot of good things will happen. That's my pitch, okay? I've gotten a lot of money to pitch for this. But this is a big deal for us. And love for you to jump in. If you don't know what you want to serve, how you want to serve, we'll figure it out for you. What that means is we'll talk to you, look at your schedule, look at your gifts, and we'll make it work. We want this to be the best experience. Regardless of your past church experience, this is different. We are different, okay? So that's it. Commercial's over. Okay, back to yeah, please, shut it up. Okay, back to our conversation. So we've been in a series, if you're just joining us, a conversation about religions, and we've been talking about basically the four big religions, and the series is called What Unites Us. And so the big idea here is that we've been talking about this concept that there are different people who have either grown up in a particular religion or are used to a particular religion, and or you know people who actually practice a particular religion. And honestly, there's a lot of things that we can be divided upon. There's a lot of differences, obviously. This conversation is not universalism. It's not a concept that we're trying to promote, which means we're all the same. We're not really the same. This is a kind of dialogue about how to really engage, and then it's a big dialogue. It's a really insignificant dialogue about what really matters to the human soul. And so my case is that there's something actually bigger than religion that our souls and our spirits and our human hearts long for, and it's actually a relationship with the Creator, a relationship with something that's bigger than us. And so this has been basically a series about, okay, this is what religion says about God, and then this is what Jesus said about God. And so the big question that we've been talking about or wrestling through is like, who are you talking about when you talk about God? That's the big goal for this series. It's not what you believe or what you're talking about when you talk about God. No, it's who. Like, who is this person? Who's the personality that you're talking about? What kind of God is this? And so we talked about the God of Christianity versus the God that Jesus talked about first week. Last week was Islam, the God of Islam versus the God that Jesus talked about. This morning, I got a special guest, and we're going to be talking about Hinduism. So without further ado, can you give it a hand for Poonam as she comes on up. Poonam, come on up. Give her a hand. This is your seat right here. Awesome. Perfect. Awesome. So, Poonam, we're excited that you're here.
Thank you.
And you have friends watching and family watching as well.
I hope so.
They are. They definitely are. They definitely are. So, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So, my name's Poonam Patel.
Patel. Big deal.
Yes.
Big deal. Because I hear that the Patels are the Indian mafia. Is that true?
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody. Everybody, all of India is watching.
Yeah. So, I mean, the rumor that we've maintained up until now is that we own hotels, we own gas stations, and we're all doctors. Let's keep it that way.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Uh-huh. Yes. You guys do own a lot of things.
We do. I mean, Patel, by definition, is landowner.
Wow.
Yeah. But they don't want to hear about that.
They don't even, they didn't. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So a little bit about yourself. So siblings?
I have a brother. He is 20 years old.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Parents grew up?
Both of my parents did grow up Hindu. One of them currently still is, and the other one converted to Christianity when I was 4 years old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so grandparents?
Both of my sets of my grandparents also were of the Hindu faith.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone in my whole family grew up Hindu and continues to practice Hinduism.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you are Gujarati, right?
I am. So okay. That Gujarati is, well, the state of Gujarat is the western part of India. So kind of like being from South Carolina, I call myself a South Carolinian. The same way I call myself a Gujarati because I'm from that state in India.
Okay. So what you doing these days? So did you go to school, graduate?
So I went to college at Winthrop University, which is right down the road, Rock Hill.
Nice.
And then I went to the University of South Carolina for my graduate degree.
Nice.
Go Gamecocks.
Go Gamecocks.
Any Gamecocks? Anybody?
There was one in the first service.
And she had my back.
Yeah, there are a bunch of Yankees here. Yeah, yeah. It's just this like, yeah.
sorry.
Yeah.
I'm in North Carolina.
You're in North Carolina. Yeah.
And then now I work in healthcare administration.
Okay.
So while the superheroes are taking care of our patients, I get to be in the background of making sure, you know, our lights are on and everybody gets paid.
Nice, mm-hmm. Nice. And so your mom paid me a lot of money, you know that, right, on the side, to mention that you're single. She did.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Potatoes are usually loaded.
Well, that's a rumor, but
that's
I'll take
rumor?
It.
Okay. So we won't talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about Hinduism. So the big idea that we've been talking about is, hey, who are you talking about when you talk about God? That's like the big question. But with Hinduism, it's a little harder because it's not who, it's, well, who are you talking about when you talk about the gods? Like, which one,
mm-hmm.
right? So Hinduism is polytheistic, mm-hmm. many gods,
right.
And also pantheistic,
mm-hmm.
which means that, like nature, God is also, all of creation is God, or?
That God can be found throughout nature,
yeah.
Throughout creation.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a hard concept. Hinduism mm-hmm. is extremely hard. Now, you growing up Hindu is a very different reality of what, you know, a textbook says and then what really is. But let's talk a little bit about the basic beliefs. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing basic about Hinduism, but
right.
Let's talk about a couple, okay? So let's talk about the five big ones. The five big ones, I wrote them down just to make sure I got them right. Number one is the caste system. Mm-hmm. So there are how many castes?
Five castes.
Right. So, and you are number what? Do you know?
I'm in the third out of five.
Okay, the third. Yes. And the last one are called the...
Untouchables.
Yeah, that's something we're familiar with, right? Like, we've heard about that. What is that system? What is that population group? Like,
they're the ones that are typically known as living in the slums. They're untouchable because typically they're broken. They come from a lineage of poverty and those kind of things. And so people try to stay away from them because they don't want to catch the same heritage that these folks have, which essentially they're known for being broken. So other people don't want to become broken as a result of interacting or touching them.
That makes it very hard for like social programs, right, to really help
right.
the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think you see, you know, extreme wealth in India and then extreme
right.
power. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So you got the priests on one caste system. They're the top dogs.
That's the highest.
Top dogs, priests,
right,
or pastors. They're top dogs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, no, it doesn't work. I'm Pakistani, actually. So, this is ironic. India and Pakistan,
mm-hmm.
we got a feud going on
but, you know, let's remember who won.
The British. The British won. The British won. No, they didn't. Did they?
We did.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it. We beat you in cricket all day long, though.
Well,
yeah,
not slap always.
Yeah, whatever. So, but you guys do make the best movies.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And restaurants, too. Indian food.
Yes.
No one goes to Pakistani food.
Arab food.
That's good. All right. So you are, you said number three. So you got priests, you got rulers, I guess, politicians,
right,
caste.
Right.
And then you got the merchants.
The business people. Mm-hmm.
So it's so strange, though, because they actually live out their caste.
They do. It's like you're handed your legacy.
Yeah, and you just got to carry it out.
Right.
Number four are the artisans and all, and then, like you said, number five is the untouchables.
Right.
So you got the caste system, and that's connected to the second belief of karma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, you get what you give.
Right. So the beautiful thing about Hinduism is that it's very focused on good works. Good works could mean different things to different people, and so they kind of have that laid out in the form of dharmas. And so dharmas are a set of good works that you're supposed to perform, be a good daughter, be a good wife, don't cheat, all those kind of things. And then the karmas are, all right, what did you actually do? And based on what you actually did can then dictate what happens to you.
Okay. So karma and dharma,
mm-hmm.
which is connected to, and these are all connected, this concept of reincarnation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So how is that connected?
So depending on how you did with your karmas, if you followed through on all the good works that you're supposed to, then it stops the cycle of reincarnation and you reach the state of salvation or moksha. So you reach nirvana. However, we all fall short daily. And so as a result, part of that reincarnation process, you go through a cycle after you die of seven lives in the form of anything in creation. And then after that seventh cycle is over, you come back as a human to try again.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the fifth one, like you said, is the nirvana, which is moksha, which right. is literally means release from this treadmill of,
right.
of life and
exactly.
circle of life. You know, we talked about our differences. Obviously, I come from a Muslim background, and, you know, our redemption process is very different,
mm-hmm.
you know. So part of our good works is sacrificing animals. And I asked you, I was like, so you guys sacrifice anything? And you're like, it could be a cousin. Like, right?
Yeah, that's the reality
that's
of it.
That's why.
Right.
Yeah.
So the answer is no, because we believe that there is a life behind every, well, Hindus believe there is life behind every creation and every creature. You don't know what who it could be, you know?
Yeah.
So we are very mindful of preserving as much life as possible.
Okay. So all these beliefs lead to this idea of salvation, right?
Right.
Which you talked about, moksha.
Right.
Right? So how does that work? Because I think there are three ways to it.
Mm-hmm. So to achieve salvation or moksha, you focus on devotion, you focus on knowledge, and you focus on good works.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so these are like the terms for them. They're all connected to like the works is this karma, which is
right.
the word for it, you know, to do. And then it says yoga and all of mm-hmm. those. And what's really fascinating is like we've all heard the word yoga, right? How many have heard yoga? We know that. But it actually literally means to unite.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, really fascinating, I
right.
think, that this concept is to unite all of these three actions
mm-hmm.
to reach those, right?
Right.
So it's devotion, knowledge, and so how does that work played out in a Hindu family?
Sure. So let me just throw out a disclaimer. You know, everything that we're talking about today has been based on my personal experience or just what I've learned over time. I'm not an expert on Hinduism, so by any means, take it with a grain of salt. However, what I've seen growing up, a lot of people will, in their devotions, spend a lot of time going to the temple or even create a temple within their homes, a special room which is prayed over and is considered holy ground. And so during those interactions with their temple, they'll have peace offerings that they'll constantly give and a lot of time of devotion on a daily basis within these different temples and devotions.
Yeah. And so how does that work? Because, you know, in terms of another major belief is this idea of like who God really is,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's three ways of salvation, but there are actually three distinct personalities of gods. Like, so when you talk about India, you think, oh, millions of gods.
Right.
But they're actually connected, right?
Yes, so there's three primary, they call them the big three. Well, I call them the big three.
Okay.
So there's three personalities of the big three. There's the creator, there's the caretaker, and the destroyer. And so the three have procreated, and the offspring of these main three are what we've come to know as the hundreds of gods throughout Hinduism.
Okay, so they're all connected. They're like kind of
right.
like the avatar.
Exactly.
Avatars of
so
them.
They all originate from these three.
Okay, mm-hmm. And so because of that, there's also three ways, but it's connected. It's really fascinating because Jesus talked about God, but also not three personalities, but in one sense three functions. You know, and so that therefore we came up with this word called the Trinity.
Right.
Doesn't really necessarily exist in scripture, that word itself, but it helps us in a Western context understand this whole three in one.
Right.
Because Jesus, he communicated that there was actually one God, but has three forms, but it's still one key essence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, it's, and then on a very easy, I guess, it's not that. It's not shallow, but it's an easy way to understand is the idea of H2O. So it's, you know, you have steam water and ice, but same compound.
Right.
But then Jesus actually said that they're also three in one at the same time, and that's where it gets a little deeper and complicated. And I think that's the, you know, that's why some religions would say that that Christianity is actually like Hinduism, mm-hmm. Because, like, for example, Muslims mm-hmm. believe that Christians are not monotheistic; they are actually polytheistic. Mm-hmm. That they actually believe, just like Hindus. So, like, we worship idols,
right.
You know, according to Muslims. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference, right?
There is a difference. So, like, there's three distinct beings. They're not intertwined. They are three different personalities, three different roles and responsibilities across these three gods.
Okay, so let me ask you. So how did you come to faith? So you live in an interesting family dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. I know she was kind of nervous about actually kind of doing this.
Right.
Because we do have people watching
right.
from all over, and you're representing not all of India, but
most of the country,
but you're just billions of,
no pressure.
Of you, yeah. But you are representing your family, mm-hmm. and I know your mom's watching, and possibly your dad. Mm-hmm. So tell me that dynamic. How does that work? So,
sure. So growing up, you know, all my family comes from a Hindu background. And growing up, we would go to the temple with them and carry out the Hindu festivals and the traditions with them, just alongside them. And when my mom found her faith in, when I was 4 years old, she would start coming to church every Sunday. And so I would start going to church with her every Sunday, and also continuing all these rituals as well with the rest of my family, which was very interesting because it gave me great exposure to both faiths. What my parents told me is when I was ready to choose the path that I believed was right for me.
Yeah, that's something really beautiful about Hindus, and that they're also like, what's the word? They're omniist, which means like they're a respecter of all religions,
mm-hmm.
and they believe that there's truth to be found in all of them.
Right.
But the flip side is that none of them have all the truth too.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, but yeah. Let me also disclaim this. When my mom made that decision when, you know, I was 4 years old, it did not come with that as consequences and challenges. I would say it made my family dynamics very challenging. But, you know, God calls us to carry our cross. Without that, you know, he wouldn't call us his disciple.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
So how did it look like for you, and then how did you come to faith?
So, you know, growing up, I was exposed to both, and then when I was 12, the youth group from the church invited me to go to a Christian camp with them, and there was an altar call to receive prayer. I went up to the altar, and it was just...
Did you know what you were doing? Like, what?
I mean, because I had gotten about 8 years of exposure to this at this point, I kind of knew.
Yeah.
That I was going to get, you know, somebody was going to lay hands on me, and I was going to get prayed for. I think it had to do with healing, probably.
Okay.
I was 12 years old. What did I, you know, my foot probably hurt.
right.
But, you know, it was a totally different experience because when I actually got up there, it was like God, I had an encounter with Jesus like I'd never had before. It was, my body was there, but I was so just tuned out and zoned in, and it was like, it was me and this white light and a sense of peace that I've never seen before. And it was in that moment that I knew that I was face to face with the Spirit of God. And it was at that moment that I realized Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And I haven't turned back since.
Oh,
that
wow.
was when I accepted Jesus Christ.
Wow, mm-hmm. wow. Now, you told me that that you were in the moment and they were kind of done with the...
So the only reason I woke up or like got out of this trance per se, is because somebody started shaking me because they needed to move on with the service, and they were like, you know, we need you to, like, move. Yeah.
So you were like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just me and Jesus, like, everybody else wasn't there.
So, okay, so that was when you were 12.
Yeah.
So, you're not 12 now.
Right.
Right. Just leave it at that.
Thanks.
Okay. And so, why didn't you not switch back? Why wasn't it just like, it's a youth thing?
A lot of people grow up into a certain faith, you know, and I see this a lot with my friends. They'll proclaim Hinduism or Christianity because their parents were, and so they just take that on. They never really ask themselves the question why. And so getting to grow up as both a Hindu and getting exposure to both Christianity and Hinduism, I had to truly take the time to understand both religions and then choose the one that I understood was right for me. So since then, every day it's a daily reminder of me choosing Jesus, me choosing Christianity. And that has helped me to stay on the path because I was the one who chose this path, not because I was told to, but because I decided to.
Yeah, that's awesome. You mentioned two things. You were talking about this idea of grace and then unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. What, you know, because you explained to me that was the big, I guess, that was the big difference in the teachings of Hinduism as a religion, mm-hmm. and then the teachings of actually Jesus.
Right. So in Hinduism, with there being so many gods, based on the need of the hour, I would have to find the god that worked for me. You know, if I needed money or had financial issues, I would go to that god. If I needed healing, I would go to this god. If I needed justice, I would go to this god. And it just became a lot. In the process of trying to appease all these people to, not people, but appease all these gods in order to receive what I needed, there was a huge void that was missing. I wasn't getting the love that I needed, not in return, but there was just a huge void of love in my life that you would think would come from having this relationship with all these gods, but really it was more towards, have I earned it from them? I think that's the big difference in Christianity is that it's like Jesus came, you know, Romans 10:9 says, if you proclaim with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. That's it.
Yeah.
There, you know, it's a love that's freely given unconditionally. It's a grace that I didn't have to earn. He gave it to me, which makes all the difference. And it gave me a new, a newfound hope. In Proverbs, it says that you will surely have a hope and your hope will not be shaken, and which was huge for me. Yeah. And the reason being is because you're constantly setting yourself up for failure when you're trying to please all these gods. But if you accept Jesus as Lord, then it's already there.
Yeah. You know, it's fascinating because there's actually in Tamil Nadu, which mm-hmm. is another part of India, people have found scholars and, you know, people who look at teachings of Jesus and followers of Jesus in a different context, in world context, and non-Western context. I've actually found Hindus who call themselves Hindus, but actually worship Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but no one would call them Christians, and they don't even have language for that, but they would just say, no, we're Hindus, but we just worship Jesus and solely worship Jesus. It's not like everybody else is out there. They solely worship Jesus. And so it's really fascinating to me how God just, interacts he's very particular with each and every person and what they need, you know, as a Hindu, as a Muslim, as people just coming from different faiths, that God meets us where we are. And I love what you were talking about this because especially in regards to having so many to appease.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes we think like more options is actually better.
Mm-hmm.
But even now, even marketers know that humans are not wired up
right.
to have so many options. When they do have options, they actually are paralyzed to make right. a decision. And you feel like the more gods you have for you worship, the more love you have. But that's not true at all.
No.
It's actually, you don't know who loves you.
Right.
You really just don't.
Mm-hmm.
You never really know. And you have to, like you said, appease.
Right.
So with Jesus, it's the teachings, it's interesting because his teachings are very much clear. Like, you know, he's like, know the gods before me. You know, if you don't love mother, if you don't love me more than brother or sister, or mother or father, you know, you can't be my disciple. I mean, there's a very extreme, like, hey, listen, this relationship between you and me is important.
Right.
And like, and don't cheapen it.
Well,
like,
you
don't.
Just, yeah. Yeah. You just hit the nail on the head. The main difference is this. At the end of the day, you have a relationship. You have a living, breathing relationship that you're not able to say you can have in Hinduism.
Yeah. And it's really fascinating to me. We were talking about, you know, this idea of, like, dating around and versus, you know, someone who just loves to date around rather than be in a committed relationship. And it's like that concept of, like, oh, I'm just going to do whatever. I'm going to get whatever I need from whoever I want to get, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just play the field in one sense. Right. And this actually the same idea in terms of this concept played in parenting, where, you know, how many of you have had, you know, your kids, or you were a kid and you did this, you know, you did a work around mom, a work around dad. You know, it's like, okay, dad will always say yes. So, you know, mom will always say yes. And so we just work around, and sometimes you don't want to, and it's not like Hinduism promotes this, but it's easy to get in that. So it's like, well, this God said no. So this God's going to say yes. Like, I'm going to go to Shiva because he is going to serve justice because he's known as the punisher or the destroyer.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to talk to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. So you end up, like, doing workarounds. Mm-hmm. And no one likes a workaround. Even in our workspaces, no one likes the person who goes over our head or goes and just does a workaround. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you can kind of, it becomes, they don't want it to be, but it becomes a very self-centered, I'm going to get my needs met however
that's right.
I can do it. And you end up sometimes, you know, and I think not just in Hinduism, but all religions, I think, you know, the reason why I left religion, and for me it was Islam, is that sometimes religion just makes good people bad.
Yeah.
You know, it just does, man. It's like, You become this workaround person. You become this person who believes in this goofy things, and or you're like, I'm gonna do good because I need to do good. I mean, I was talking to a Muslim a lady the other day, and she was like, you know, I don't want to be good. I don't want to not be bad because I'm gonna be punished. You know. Like, I want to be good for goodness sake. Like, I want to be. Like, I don't want to be good because I fear punishment.
Right.
And I think that's the beauty of the message of Jesus, you know? It's like, yeah, it's you know, you can actually live out of this relationship and love because I love you. I mean, that's what he says, you know? He says, we can love because he loved us.
Right.
We can live because he lived for us. Yep. Let me read you this last passage of scripture. And I think this kind of just summarizes what you said. It says here in Jeremiah 31:3, it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I think that's it right there. It's like God saying, hey, I want to be in a solo relationship. I want to be like, it's you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my commitment. I'm putting it out there. I'm going to love you with an everlasting love, and I'm going to, like, pursue you with unfailing kindness.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, hey, thank you so much. I know this was hard for you, and you honored your family as well, and you blessed us as well. Can we give her a hand? Can we do that?
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, let's stand together. Let's stand together and pray. Let's do that. Lord God, we thank you so much for this conversation. We thank you for Poonam and her life. And God, I thank you for just a person like that I can relate to. It's so hard leaving one faith, leaving a very, very much a traditional conservative religion, religion that really ties a community together, leaving a people group who are your people, that you don't necessarily want to leave, but yet it just feels like that. And I thank you, God, that she has the courage to just step out, to make her path to choose to believe in you, Jesus. And regardless of all the relationships that are complicated, extremely complicated, God, I thank you for that. I pray, God, that if there are people here who are choosing to believe today, I know that every weekend people choose to get closer to you. And so today they're doing the same thing. There are people here who are going, I'm going to choose for myself as an adult to follow Jesus. Not religion of any kind, but the teachings of Jesus. God, I pray that as they come to you and they say, Jesus, I want to follow you, that you would give them the experience that you gave Poonam, even the experience you gave me, of very much a reality of your presence. God, even today, that as we just have a moment of response, as some people will go receive communion, others will light a candle or go to the cross, maybe some of us would just see a glimpse of you, Jesus, that right now they would feel your presence heavy upon them. That God, that you're more than different belief systems. You're actually God with us. And you have loved us with the love that we need. It is what unites us. It's what humanity needs. A love that is unconditional and everlasting. So God, thank you so much for that. God, help us respond.